St. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Wow. What a sad, sad few verses. He went out and wept bitterly. Let's read over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. I'm actually going to read out of Luke chapter 22 before that happened. Verse 31, Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Not that he wouldn't fail, but that his faith wouldn't fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both in prison and to death. He's saying, Lord, that's not me. That I will never. I'm ready to die, Lord. But the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. In just a few hours, what Jesus said would happen there in Luke chapter number 22 came to pass in Matthew 26. He denied him. Are you with me? Now let's go to Matthew 27, verse 1. I want to read to you another story. I don't usually read this much, but for sake of what I want to try to minister to you tonight, I'll have to. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests, now this is right after Peter's denial. Chapter 26 ends with Peter going out after he hears the cock crow early that morning. And he goes out and weeps bitterly. And then that same morning, the very next verse, the very next chapter, it says, And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. Verse 5, and the Bible said, And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Didn't turn out as good as Peter. They both betrayed the Lord. They both had committed a terrible failure. They both were defeated. But Judas's end turned out different. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this precious group of people, Lord, that we love very, very deeply with all of our heart, God. I appreciate you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Helped, God, to step behind this sacred desk, Lord. I appreciate, God, each and every heart, every visitor, every home person here. God, I ask that you would touch lives, touch hearts. God, as if you dealt with me this for this message for 2 or 3 days now, Lord. Amen. I pray that you for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, let me say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say, nothing more and nothing less. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I want to talk about failure tonight. I actually want to preach about facing up to failure, keeping the faith during and after failure. I don't like to fail, do you? But you know what? Defeat and failure is one of our most common experiences, isn't it? Amen. I mean, who here hasn't failed? Raise your hand. Anybody here who hasn't failed? We could probably pin things down in our youth. Some failures when we were teenagers. We all have failures. Defeat is one of our most common experiences. And I have read to you in your hearing tonight of two different men. Both were great men as far as called by Christ in their early stages. But here in their life, they have both, I have read to you, their terrible failure. Amen. I mean, actually, when you look at Peter's failure, you seem a little bit more harsh almost toward Peter, because Peter was actually forewarned. Amen. Christ took the time in Luke there in chapter 22, and he told him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice what he said. And Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go and die with you. But the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow, amen, this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Amen. You have the warnings about the denials. I mean, he told Peter when he would actually deny him. He told him the time. It would be at the time that the cock crows, and that was usually in the early, early morning time. He actually told him how many times that he would even deny. He got specific, amen, trying to tell Peter. Amen. The time of the denial is spelled out the best in Mark's gospel. Mark reports Christ as saying, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Amen. Oh, yes. And in noting the record of the three denials, Mark 14 and verse 66, we learn that the cock crowed after Peter made his first denial, because Mark 14 and 68 says, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. That was the first time he denied, and that was the first time the cock crew. Amen. Somehow, but Peter was so engulfed. He was, you see, he denied because of fear. Amen. Judas denied because of greed. Are you with me? And false ambition. Amen. Both of them had the same type of defeat. They both betrayed Christ. One of them, amen, betrayed him because of fear. Amen. And Judas betrayed him because of greed and false ambition. I mean, they're actually contrasted here in the scripture. Amen. And it tells us their attitude in the hour of defeat. Peter, the Bible said, went out, amen, and wept bitterly, but Judas went out and hanged himself. They both denied and they both betrayed their Lord, giving in to the promptings of their instincts. They were both defeated. But here's what I felt like the Lord dealt with me earlier part of this week, sometime Sunday night. Amen. I was reading some and it seemed like it come to my heart. Amen. It was the attitude at the end of their defeat. Amen. It actually isn't the failure, amen, that could be the most devastating, but it is the response that you and I take after the failure. Are you with me? If you do not think that that is the absolute truth, amen, then why is it a slur to call somebody a Judas? Their sin was the same. They both betrayed Christ. The difference, Brother Russell, was their response after their failure. Amen. Peter was such a man that yes, he failed. Amen. Yes, his denials was very wicked. They were deceiving words. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible records four distinct lies that Peter told while he was standing out there by that fire. Are you with me? Amen. Four different lies. First, he denied being with Christ. Second, he denied being one of Christ's disciples. Third, he denied knowing Christ. And fourth, he denied even understanding the accusation. Neither understand what thou sayest. I want you to notice, I don't know if you noticed when I was reading, but I emphasized when Peter said the man. You must understand, it wasn't just a few days later, when before this, Brother Daniel, that Christ had looked at Peter and said, who do men say that I am? And Peter had spoke up and said, some say this, some say that. But Jesus said, whom say thou that I am, Peter? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matter of fact, I can't read any other place in the Bible where Peter addressed him as a man. Amen. But he was so fearful, so denied. It was a very wicked thing that Peter did. Don't think of it any less than what Judas did. The difference is in the response to their failure. Amen. Peter's words were deceiving words. They were dishonoring words. Amen. He called him Christ, but now he's, amen, he had called him Master and Lord before, but now he talks about this man whom you speak of, or the man. I mean, he don't even recognize him as Christ. He don't even recognize him as the Son of God. He don't even give him any kind of divine deity or whatsoever. He just calls him the man. Are you with me? He is this man of whom you speak. I don't know what you, this man. I don't know what you're talking about, this man. Amen. But when he was in the presence of Christ, before he was calling him Master, he was calling him Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But all of a sudden, fear does a lot of things to a person. Amen. And it calls a man like Peter that's called of Christ. Amen. Was a great man of God that had walked on the water. And all of, amen, the storm and the waves and everything, Peter, amen, and walked on the water, something that probably no other man besides Christ has ever done. Are you with me? But here beside the fire, when fear grips his heart, he denies the Lord. Not only that, but he does it with defiling words. Amen. Matthew and Mark report that Peter tried to enforce his denials with a defiled tongue.
The Bible said, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. We need to understand that nature, the nature of this defiled speech, curse and swear does not mean that Peter actually used a string of vulgarities to emphasize the point, as so many foul mouths do today. But however, what he said was very bad. The words mean to call a curse down upon himself if what he says is not true. And in other words, he took an oath that what he said was true. But the difference in Peter, though he had the warnings about the denial, and though we see the wickedness about the denial, amen, the awesome thing about Peter is the weeping, Brother Daniel. Amen. It ain't, amen, that he was warned. Yes, he was. Amen. It's very wicked, his denial. But you see, at the end of his failure, his attitude was different. And the Bible tells us in one of the Gospels, right when that cock crew the second time, and he denied three times, Jesus looked at him somehow through the flickering of the flame, through the early sunrise, and he looked at the eyes of Jesus. Jesus didn't utter a word. And the Bible said all of a sudden he realized and he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, church, if we could realize, amen, some of you might have failed and the devil might be hounding your heart and hounding your mind. There might have been a failure. But can I tell you, the response, amen, will do you more good or harm than the actual failure. How you respond to it. Now let's just be a little transparent. How many's ever heard the devil say like I have after a failure? Well, you might as well quit. More in my youth, but I remember hearing the devil say, well, you might as just well quit. How many of us has ever heard that voice? You might as just well quit. But the thing is, I felt like the Lord dealt with me about this week is how are you going to respond? See, I don't know about you, but I've never heard him preach it, but I think it was Greg Roberts who preached that message. I think Allentown or somewhere, as I heard about it, when he preached on when your tempter becomes your tormentor. And he talked about how that, you know, how the devil seduces and lures and, amen, and just, places you out there. And all of a sudden when you yield to temptation, amen, all of a sudden it switches over and he's not seducing and he's not oohing. And, but now he is, amen, talking to you and telling you, amen, look what you've done. Look what you've done. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. Look what, I can't believe you. You was just in church last night. Amen. You just prayed this morning. Are you with me? Amen. But I'll tell you something. The response after a failure is more important. How did you respond? Don't let the devil hang that over your head for 25 years. I'm not saying that you can sin grossly. Amen. And then come to church in 10 minutes and just, you know, no, I'm not talking like that. But I'm saying, amen, that was the difference between, amen, Peter, amen, when he failed, he went out and he wept bitterly. Amen. And one writer was saying, and I was reading, and I never had really, maybe I have, but I had forgot about it, but I never had really thought about it. Amen. And the writer said, the commentary that I was reading this week and this morning was saying that notice, amen, that both men denied the Lord. Both men betrayed the Lord. Amen. Both of them had the same type of sin. Their motives was different, but it was the same type of sin. Amen. Judas really didn't think Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. So he betrayed him. Greed and, amen, and a lust for ambition and things of that nature. Amen. And then when the Bible says, and when he saw he was condemned, amen, the Bible said, then he went out, amen, and done what? He hanged himself. Amen. It was more than he could. He did not handle his failure. His failure handled him. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they fell and they listened to the serpent. And the Bible said, and they went and hid themselves among the trees. And God was kind enough and God was loving enough and God was sweet enough to go looking for them. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? Amen. It should have been the other way around. Adam and Eve should have been running for God. God, where you're at, God? I found you miserably. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Amen. But they didn't do it. But you know what? God is such a loving God that God went looking for them. And I feel like God's looking for somebody right here in this service. You might be trying to hide behind a tree. And the devil's saying you ain't got no chance. You might as well quit. You're a failure. You're a failure. You're a failure. But can I tell you that a person cannot be a failure? A failure, amen, might be an event. It might be a one-time mistake. But a failure is not a person. You can get over it. You can get help. I read something several years ago and got my Bible loaded with stuff. And it was good enough that I taped it to my Bible or glued it or something there. It said errors become mistakes when we perceive them and respond to them incorrectly. Errors become mistakes when we perceive them and respond to them incorrectly. Mistakes become failures when we continually respond to them incorrectly. Hey, friend, God doesn't keep count. The devil does. Your wife might keep count. Your brother might keep count. Amen. Your best friend might keep count. Come on here. Your mama might keep count. I'll tell you what, the devil don't care, does he? He'll use whoever he can, Brother David, to tear you down constantly. He'll let a failure, amen, that happened 6 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago, or whatever, and it might have been sin. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. You might have really made a mistake, a serious, sinful mistake. But I'm still telling you that there is grace and mercy. If you run back to the Father, the King James Version Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins. If Jesus told the man, amen, how often should I forgive, Lord? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. I don't believe like a Baptist that you sin every day. Don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you something. If you do, you can get forgiveness. You don't got to quit. You don't got to throw in the towel. You don't got to give up. You don't got to sit on a back pew with your head tucked down between your, amen, knees, amen, for 3 years and feel like you've got to, you know, wear a dunce hat so everybody can just know that you made a failure one time 3 years ago. I'm sorry. I don't believe like that. I believe there is forgiveness. Actually, I believe there's so much forgiveness, I mean, you can't even comprehend. Amen. I'm just glad God don't expose every time I make a mistake. How about you? I'm glad God don't just jerk the cover, amen, about every time I make a mistake. I'm glad God does not do that. Wouldn't we be a pitiful mess? I mean, we know, we come to church long enough now, especially you all have been through the year. You all know each other's faults and failures. Let alone, I mean, Holy Ghost just coming up and putting them on the side of the building here and show up on Sunday night. And here's Earl Edmondson. Here's everything he's done wrong that week. And here is David Coburn. And there is Jane for all of us to look around and man, I'm glad that he doesn't do that, Brother James. I mean, God is so merciful. It's actually beyond our human comprehension because we are not even close to as being merciful as God is. Because if you burn me once, Brother David, I'm going to be suspicious. Every time you get around me, you burn me once in a deal, I'll probably never deal with you again. I'll be a little suspicious. I'll love you and I'll forgive you. And amen. But if you want to buy something else or sell something, I'm going to say, now he tricked me that last time. Amen. And I might even give you a second chance. But if you burn me twice, I'm not going to get back in the yard. Come on here. I mean, you get bit by the dog once and you ain't going to crawl back over now. No, but you know what God will do? He'll give you another chance. Because I don't know about you all, but he's gave me another chance. And then another chance. And then I've got down and said, Lord, I burnt you again. And here I am slowful again, Lord. Would you please forgive me? Here, Lord, I said something I shouldn't say. Would you forgive me, Lord? I knew better than that. Here I am again, Lord. I found myself, Lord. I made some wrong choices and I've made some decisions. I'm into it finally. And now would you help me again, Lord? Oh, how many times? Amen. When you read Psalms 51, I remember preaching from Psalms 51. How many knows what Psalms 51 is? It's David's great repentance song. Oh, you know what David was praying? Creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit, purge me. David was saying, Lord, I'd like to have one more chance. I realize now, God, I'd like to have one more chance. You know, you could have one more chance, even if it's a moral failure. Oh, I know we're a holiness church, but I'm still going to preach it anyhow. You can have another chance, even if it's a moral failure. You have another chance. You can have another chance. God will help you. God will lift you up. Sometimes God just allows us to fall down. Sometimes, I think. Just to realize how utterly helpless we are, because sometimes we're so self-centered and so self-willed, and we just think we can handle everything and do everything, and we're just so, you know, and God finally just has to kick all the crutches out, take the carpet out under us, you know, just like that old eagle does, them old eaglets. Just like that old eagle stirs up her nest, and she takes all that cushion out, and them thorns start sticking up, and them little eaglets start having to, ouch, it don't feel as comfortable in here. Sometimes God stirs a nest up. Defeat in our youth, defeat morally, defeat financially. The vital important part of the experience of defeat is not the defeat itself, but our attitude after. How do you respond? Of course, you've all heard that old cliche, defeat never, need never be final. The boy that was here Sunday tried to commit suicide two Sundays ago. I just hope he's going to be here tonight. Took an overdose. You see, the devil torments a person's mind when they fail. Let me ask you a question. When you think of Peter, the apostle Peter, somehow you know that's in his biography. But when you read Acts, it just sort of, you don't think of his failure near as bad. Watch preachers when they preach. Man, they'll just preach Judas being so wicked and so vile and so filthy and so, I just can't believe. But Peter was just as bad. Because one commentator said, that he was so bad that when he denied the first time in the cot crew, he was so engulfed in his denial. He was so out of himself. He was so, hours went by and he denied again. Then he denied again. And it wasn't until that cot crew twice, Peter come to himself. His heart smote him. I never had thought of it.
But I preached here a few months ago. Remember when I preached on the eyes of Jesus? Wasn't that great a message, but I did preach on it. The eyes of Jesus. One writer said that Christ looked at him with love. Are you with me? When he looked on Peter, one may be sure that it was no look of condemnation or rebuke, but rather of sorrow. In infinite love, only such a look could have opened the floodgates of that erring disciple's heart. What a look. Oh, I would to God, if we fail, that we could instantly look up and say, Lord, are you looking my way? I need your help. Please forgive me today. I'm trying to preach hope tonight, church. Which attitude do you have tonight? You have the Judas attitude. Give in to failure. Let it master you. Let it grow you more embittered as the years pass. You struggle with it so far unsuccessfully. Just go on, you know. It's always going to be like this. You live in that state of pity party, self-pity. But I can prove to you that the scripture, and I don't have time right now, that self-pity is sin. I can prove to you by the Bible, self-pity is a curse. It's not God's will for you to have self-pity. And there ain't a person in this house don't fight that at times. Self-pity. Let's all stand all over the house. Anybody know a boy or a man named Judas? Anybody in the house? I mean, there could be. I don't know. I don't know everybody on earth. I probably know several thousand people across the country. Anybody know anybody named Judas? Anybody here, you mothers, y'all didn't name your baby Judas? How many's ever heard of Peter Cartwright? Great missionary. Huh? Wow. Yeah. The response was the difference. I said the response was the difference. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, right now, I pray the Holy Ghost, God, will talk to hearts. I do not have any idea, God, who I am preaching to. But I felt, Lord, since Sunday night, the Spirit of God was so sweet in here Sunday. Has been for several weeks, God. And I just try to feel like, God, that you want to talk to somebody. That they can get up. They can get up, Lord. They can sing again. They can shout again. They can smile again, Lord. They don't have to walk around with their head down all the time. They can look up, knowing that you'll forgive them, and no doubt have already forgave them. But Lord, sometimes it's hard to forgive yourself. Help us to do that. Help us not to be our own worst enemy. Help us to forgive ourselves. Help us, as Brother Scotty said, sometimes to forget the past. Sometimes forgetting the past ain't always what somebody done to us. It might be what we did to ourselves. Made wrong decisions back here, Lord. And them wrong decisions has caused some very hurt in my family, in my life. I ask you to forgive me. I'd like for you to come right now as a church.
Lay that on the altar. Don't go back home with that tonight. Bring it to the altar. Lay it on the altar. I believe Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ can forgive every sin. The Bible only mentions one sin, and that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And in my personal opinion, I don't even think you would be here tonight if you had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I don't even think you'd be worried about it. Come on.
Never too late for you to start over.
Sing it, girls.
It's never too late.
Come on, teenager.
To begin again.
Come on, teenager.
It's never too late.
Come on, grandma.
To run to.
Come on, papa.
The Father.
Come on, mom. Come on, dad. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. Sing that again.
Never too late.
I feel the Lord trying to help you tonight.
Start over.
That's right. It's never too
late.
You can get up. You can get up. Failure's not final.
Never too late.
Come on. Come on.
Run to the Father.
Come on.
It's never.
You're not a failure.
Too late.
I said you're not a failure.
Never.
That's a lie from hell. You're believing that lying spirit from hell. You are not a failure. There might have been an experience where you failed. There might have been an event. I'll tell you something, the grace of God can cover. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible said, can cleanse us from all sin. Oh, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come on, church.
I
feel like the Holy Ghost is trying to help right here in this service. You can start over right here tonight. You've took the wrong road. You've made a wrong choice. You'd be surprised of the secret battles that some are fighting right here during this altar call. The devil trying to put shame. Something that happened months or years ago that you've asked God to forgive you for. 5, 10, 15, 25 times. And every time you start drawing nigh to God, say, Brother Simpson, how do you know that? You know why I know that? Because there's no temptation taking a man that such is common. It's because I have fought that same demon. Just like you do. I've heard those voices too. Lord, thank you for the blood. Thank you that we can start over again. Come on.
To run to the Father, it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late for you.
Clean right here.
Too late.
Hallelujah.
It's never.